Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the leaks, and the
rumors.
Oh, you beat me to it.
And I'm joined by the Platinum Hunter, the God of Thunder, and the Trophy Hunter, Jordan. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Dan?
Very well. And who are we joined by, Jordan?
We're joined by the Solid Snake to your Nathan Drake, the Professor of Gaming, Vikarth. I think I left something out there. Did I leave something out?
What did he leave?
Creator of Dan Allen Gaming YouTube channel.
How are we doing? And the co-creator of Dan's second most successful video. Cannot forget.
Co-creator?
Oh, no. How are you, Vikarth?
Yeah, doing well in a lockdown. Living my best life, you know. So,
living your best life in lockdown, are we?
Playing a lot of Warzone and Mass Effect. I remember saying a few weeks ago to Jordan, oh, I'm probably not going to play much Warzone anymore.
That was last week, wasn't it?
I feel like that happens every week.
It's just my up-down relationship I have, you know. It's a tumultuous relationship I have with Warzone.
Yeah, when there's hackers and stuff, it just gets really frustrating.
Yesterday was horrible with Dan and myself. We counted hackers like every single game. It was ridiculous.
So funny you mention that, because I think I've only encountered hackers twice, and I do play a lot less now than I did last year. But yeah, I can count on my hand the times I've encountered hackers in Warzone, not in general, just in Warzone.
I know they're probably trying, but yeah, I just think it's a bit unacceptable. But anyway, that's just my two cents.
Now, topic of the show, as everyone will know by the title of this episode, GTA 6. Wow, it's just around the corner.
Can you tell it's a slow news week?
No, we have a lot of news. Just around the corner, guys. I'm telling you, it'll come out in the next 5 years.
The six stands for in 6 years' time.
Yeah, no. But perpetually. Every year, it's 6 years from then. Mm.
Look, there was a news story around this, and we'll have a discussion on it. It was a leak by Tom Henderson with Jason Schreier. Yep.
Is that the most white guy name you've ever heard in your life?
Well, he's actually a known leaker for Call of Duty. I've known him for years, and he's gotten a lot of right. He got a lot right about Cold War. So he does have some credibility. And also Jason Schreier, you can like him, you can hate him. He does have some credibility in this area too. This is the first sort of half
you could
credible.
Say that. He's got some credibility.
Well, some of the stuff he said hasn't been true. That's why I say that. But apparently it's set in a modern day. Evolving map, Vice City, multiple protagonists, expected 2024 to 2025.
That sounds about right. So
Vice City's the way to go.
Same as Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, Vice City's the way to go, though, I think.
Yeah, look, I still, for me, my favorite GTA, hands down, was Vice City. I loved the map, the characters, the aesthetic, the 80s sort of setting, and the music on the radio. Oh man, phenomenal. But I think the general consensus is San Andreas has like the best map, right? Because it's got a bit of everything. You've got the beach, the urban, the forest,
the desert.
The desert. You've got everything in San Andreas, and San Andreas from memory was a phenomenal map. But something about Vice City. Now it's interesting because Vice City was so 80s, right? And like the palm trees and like the retro cars and
the neon
and the music. Yeah, the neon. But now they're saying it's going to be modern. So you lose some of that, the spice that made it Vice City in the 80s look so good in that game, because now it's going to be modernized. It's not going to be much neon. It's going to be newer cars. It's going to be, I don't know. So I'm excited for it, and I love Vice City. I really want to see a shot-for-shot remake of that map, because I still remember nearly every nook and cranny in Vice
Great
City.
Great game.
That map. Yeah, phenomenal.
I should have been playing it, though, at my age at the time. When did it come out? 2000? Oh,
yeah. I remember it barely ran on my PC. Like,
it would have been like 7, 8, 9 years old, you know. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
You know, there was your problem, Vike. You shouldn't have been playing games like it. You should have been doing your taxes.
I have been doing my taxes. It's tax season.
GTA Vice City came out in 2002. Yeah.
Tommy,
can I be honest? My GTA history is so like
non-existent.
I shouldn't say it's non-existent. Like, so I played through San Andreas and I got to a mission called Vertical Bird where you have to steal a Harrier like jump jet or whatever it's called. Yeah. And my game glitched where I could not get past the mission. Like, I'd go to where the mission starts. So like, I'd fail it.
Is that on PS4?
No, on PS2.
Okay.
And then I'd come back to it and the mission just wouldn't start. So like, and I really loved San Andreas. I never got to finish it. I played a little bit of GTA 3, but I was at a time where I was like, oh, this just looks too old for me. And it wasn't even that, like, I think it was probably only the PS3 generation or PS2 generation still. And I was like, it's just not doing it for me. And then I've played Vice City Stories on the PSP, which I loved. And then I've played GTA 5. I didn't play 4, no. Every time I see them on the store, there's a little part of me that wants to go back and play the remastered versions of 3, San Andreas and Vice City. Are they the three?
Yeah,
they're
more ports than remasters. But...
Ports, yeah. Because I played the Bully port.
Yeah.
And, man, that I loved.
I didn't play the Bully port. Did it change much?
It didn't change much, but it was just so much fun. Because Bully didn't take itself as seriously, and like it was, and like the setting was really cool, and because it wasn't as big, there was just a little bit more detail in some of the environments. And because it was at a school, and I remember the first time I played it, I was just going into high school, I think. And I was like, this is the best. This is fantastic. So yeah, I really loved Bully. And every time I see, like, they got the ports go on sale on the store, maybe every fortnight. Like, they go on sale quite frequently. And it's only like $20 for all three. So every week I'm like, oh, am I going to do it? No, I won't do it. I'm not going to play them. I really should have been playing them this year because of how quiet the year has been with games comparative to other years.
It's been a very quiet year. Yeah. Very quiet year.
Yeah. We should want new games, that sort of thing. I actually have liked it because it's meant that I've been able to play games I either wouldn't have played or I should have played in the past, and I have been able to catch up on. So, you know, got to take your positives where you can.
I wish, can you just imagine if Rockstar were working on Cyberpunk? Can you imagine what they'd be able to do with that
game? Can you imagine the jokes that Rockstar will probably make in GTA 6 at Cyberpunk's expense?
Oh, yes. That's a good point as well.
Like, Rockstar.
Someone's going to make a Cyberpunk joke in a game.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time, isn't it?
Didn't someone just recently? Wasn't there a Cyberpunk joke made?
Recently,
there's a Cyberpunk joke made, you know, every time a tree falls in the forest. I mean, like, there was
an Easter egg in Ghost Runner for Cyberpunk, but it wasn't making fun of the game.
Oh, there's something I remember seeing recently and it was making fun of it. Hey, one thing we didn't mention a few weeks ago, I'm pretty sure Cyberpunk's available on the store now.
It's
back on the store.
It's doing huge numbers.
There's a few more.
You stole my joke. Huge number of refunds. No, go on, Mike.
Yeah, there's actually a bit more news. I think Tom Henderson, he summarized those leaks in a video, but basically a few things. Basically, the game is obviously set in a modern day, as Dan had already said. And the primary reason behind it is GTA Online. Now, we'll get to that in a sec. They want to have as much freedom as they can in GTA Online DLCs. Map is Vice City and isn't going to be that big, but the map will be expanding, new locations being added and changing. Tom compares it to Fortnite through every season, through the years with help of DLC. Game is still in very early stages of development. Multiple protagonists, with one being female. The female one is going to be the bright one in the group and be responsible for technical stuff like hacking, apparently. Also, Tom believes the game will be around 2024, 2025.
Females always hackers, man? Come on. More than that. Surely.
A few other things, like Rockstar's heavily focusing on like employee well-being. I'm assuming that just means no crunch, since the game will be current gen and PC. they'll wait for current gen consoles to have sold units as well. So they're waiting for the PS5 sales and the Xbox Series X sales. And obviously, GTA 5 is still making a boatload of money. So I just think there's a few interesting things on this video. The first one being the reason why it's modern day setting. And I sort of mentioned before that, you know, Vice City, part of the brilliance or the spark of the beauty of that setting was the time period. And it looks like they're going modern day. And this is my theory. It's that it's going to be a lot more about online. I mean, they're going to have a story. It's going to be fleshed out, but I think they're just going to go way, 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 way more into online because of just the metric ton of money it has made for them in GTA 5. And the other thing is we saw this with Red Dead. Now, Red Dead had a great story, but they tried to bring in online, right? And it was actually negatively received pretty badly. It was quite egregious and a lot of microtransactions from memory. But I think with GTA, they have to, you know, they're basing the game around multiplayer and putting a story in it as opposed to story and then multiplayer, in my opinion, just because of GTA 5. And it looks like that's the reason they got this modern day setting. And I like the idea of an expanding map. I hope the max map is big enough from the start. But part of what I love about GTA 5 is the enjoyment you can have even in single player. So I feel like people are just going to finish the story and then go on to multiplayer. But I kind of want to enjoy the world in single player as well. So I don't want to have this like really small world, complete the game in this small world, and then just like, you know, the rest of the world comes while I'm playing multiplayer, even if I do play multiplayer, right? So it's interesting. I definitely think it's going to be with this Fortnite. They're going for this sort of like platform-oriented, like here's GTA 6, and we're just going to constantly give more and more and more content for it. We're going to have a season pass. We're going to do all these sort of things. So
they're going after Fortnite, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Want to take down Fortnite. Well, they're going for that model. And I think GTA, the brilliance for me personally, the brilliance of GTA 5 is the endless amount of hours you can have in that game in single player. Like, and what I love about the multiplayer is if you want to play a race, competitive racing game, you can play GTA 5. If you want to play a competitive golf game, you can go GTA 5. Tennis game, GTA 5. You can muck around and play deathmatch, GTA. Like GTA 5, the modern day setting allows it to be a hub of just so many mini games.
The GTA like, golf was better than the golf game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. It was better than like PGA Tour. It was
better than
Tour.
PGA Tour. Yeah. It was and more fun.
One of the biggest things in GTA, the biggest community is the racing. The maps and how you can switch between vehicles and you can do custom maps and jumps and all this sort of stuff. And they do these intricate maps and races. And I think they want that. You know, you can't really do that if it's like in an 80s setting, right? You can't have jets and super fast Bugattis and stuff like that. So the modern day really just opens it up creatively for
but again, don't, this is speculation. Again, we're not,
yeah,
this is pure speculation at this point.
We should also mention that like GTA 5 did have an expansive, you know, single player, but its multiplayer was huge from the get-go. As much as it was slow and it was hard to get into, it did have a massive single player component, like huge, bigger than most games still coming out now, like the amount of things you could do in single player. And that's the same could be said for GTA 4, which had multiplayer as well, and Red Dead 1, which had multiplayer too, and they were both huge. I think Rockstar just has, it's just the Rockstar touch. They've just got like the quality and the shine they put on everything and the amount of detail they're able to just cram and cram and cram into these worlds. As much as like the map may be smaller, according to this report, I don't think in the end it's going to hurt it because, you know, personally for me, GTA 5, I did not really, like I enjoyed it, but it was nowhere near being game of the year for me. And part of that was because it was too long. I just didn't really enjoy the story. I didn't really like the characters that much. So, you know, maybe if it was shorter, maybe I would have vibed and gelled with me a little bit better. I think we hear like, oh, it's going to be smaller, it's going to be shorter. And then, you know, the doomsday bells start ringing. But, you know, just because it's shorter and just because, you know, it's a more concise story doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. As much as the multiplayer is going to be huge, they could do what they did with GTA 5. And as I said, multiplayer was big, wasn't that big, nowhere near as big as it is now. It's probably like quadrupled in terms of, since its launch. They might start out small, you know, get people in with the single player, keep you hooked with the multiplayer. And then as that starts to, the community starts to grow and develop, that's as they, that's when they start to add more and more in. Because remember when the game launched, GTA 5, and they were like, yeah, heists are coming. But it wasn't until like, you'd have to correct me when I'm wrong, 2 to 3 years later,
it's like when heists came. Yeah, that's true. It was
definitely a number of years later before the heists eventually came. So, you know, yeah, like, and look at Red Dead 2. Well, that was, that's the only one we can really use. That's, you know, in a post GTA 5 world, there is not, you know, that world was huge. The single player world was huge. So yeah, I don't know. I like the sound of it. I'm ready for a GTA 6 when it does come out. I'm not waiting on the edge of my seat for it, but yeah, I don't know. We'll just have to see how we go with it.
Their biggest competitor is Fortnite. Like before Fortnite came out, they were number one game, known as the biggest game in the world. And then Fortnite put a spanner in the works because for a number of years, I don't know if Fortnite's still the biggest game in the world at the moment, but you know, it was for a number of years that it's still got a huge audience, and that's, they'll be looking at that model very carefully and analyzing why that did so well. Will we see a GTA Battle Royale? I mean, that would pop off, wouldn't it?
That'll, I'm surprised it hasn't already happened. Can I be honest? You know, like, how's that not happened yet?
That'll just be like, this is the beauty of GTA. They'll just make that a separate, like, multiplayer mode, and it'll just have this insane life of its own. They'll have this racing mode. It has this insane life community. They can just, that's the beauty of GTA. It's like a platform for any type of game. You can have, like, you know, people even did like obstacle courses, like runners, you know, like not endless runners, but like just like platforming style things. And then
a lot of racing. Variety.
Yeah, it's just a variety that gets it. But I do resonate with what Jordan was saying about how the story of GTA 5 was a bit long. I think the story was the way they can show off the gameplay.
I think you guys are good. A bit, you're not remembering. It was pretty good story.
It was a good story. Yeah, yeah, it was a good story. But I
remember from the get-go being like I had fun playing it, but I couldn't tell you what happened in the story.
I couldn't tell you what happened, but there was memorable missions and variety. I remember like, I think you were Trevor, or when you were Michael and you were invading the Facebook company, like some missions like that. It was really smart, or the diamond hot jewelry heist and stuff like that. But yeah, I think part of the brilliance for me of like GTA Vice City and GTA 3, I love GTA 3. I actually played that when Vice City was out, so I was still in that. You know, that was like you were saying before, how you couldn't really play 3 because it's so old. So I enjoyed 3 and Vice City then, but part of it was because it was a very self-contained story that wasn't too expansive, and it made it like short, punchy, and enjoyable. It wasn't
again,
short.
I put 300 hours into Red Dead 2. You guys didn't beat it, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I've put the same amount.
Yeah, you're the same. You're the same. Sorry, Jordan. You haven't played the online component.
I've tried to get into the online stuff. I need to, because I've put so much time into like the platinum for it in the single player side. But it just doesn't.
Yeah. It's Vicarth who hasn't touched it. I don't think he's played one mission.
Yeah,
I was too busy playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Yeah, right. Okay. But this, you know, this rage engine that they use, it must be one of the best in the world. I don't know what they're doing over there, because every game's so detailed. Like Red Dead 2 is the most detailed game I've ever played. I've said it for years. It's unbelievable.
Every GTA or Rockstar property that comes out, it's the most detailed game. It's
pretty much,
how good they are.
But every game, the thing we must have spoken about this on a previous podcast, because I feel like Dan and I have, the amount of side quests and the amount of content you cannot touch in a Rockstar game and not know about it is ridiculous.
100%. Like I remember
talking to Dan after we both had finished the Red Dead story, and like I'd moved away from it because I'd done like as much as I could with the single player. Remember he said to me, "Did you get the vampire quest line?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, if you ride through like this part of Saint Denis at a certain time, like, you know, these vampires. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And then I was like, "Well, if you do know about this part," and he's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Yeah, this quest line that you completely missed." Like, it is insane the things you can miss, you know, either by design or coincidentally in a Rockstar game. Like,
I don't know how they do it, but every side quest is such good quality. Mm. Yeah, like, do you remember the Tesla one, Jordan? In Red Dead? Do you remember that?
Do you meet Nikola Tesla?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
You have to jog my memory.
And there's one. There's also one where you get kidnapped. Did you ever get that one?
Yes, I've had the one where you get kidnapped.
Yeah, like just all this random shit. It's just.
Was he trying to clone Hugh Jackman?
Did you get the one where there's the creepy owner and he's got someone locked underneath?
Yes, I think I do remember that one. And he's like under the basement or whatever.
But you see, if you don't go into that shop, you don't see it. You never see that mission.
One of my favorite things about Red Dead 1 was, potential spoilers for Red Dead 1. It came out like 13 years ago, so, you know, it's your own fault. But when you're playing as the first character and you, like, ride past this person, he's like, help, help, my house is on fire, you need to help me. And then, like, you ride past him and then you come back later on as the second character and he's still there and he's like, help, help, my house is on fire, I need you to help me. That's funny. We're like, that is probably a really cool quest line, but how it can be made comical because of, you know, in-game mechanics and stuff.
Anyway, like, there's no doubt that GTA 6 will be probably the most detailed game. It'll look unreal. Yeah. Mm. It's just, and we just want to know how they're going to do it. What are going to focus on? We presume it's going to be a lot of online just by the shark cards and the money they're receiving from, from Five still to this day.
The technical marvel of GTA 5, I just realized this. Do you remember how, like, okay, with GTA 6, they're doing the character thing where we're going to switch, right? With the SSD, it's going to load instantly, right? Like, you'll just be able to switch probably. It was still pretty quick on GTA 5, right?
It was still pretty quick. And that was on
PS3. That was on PS3.
I know.
And you could switch. Meanwhile, Cyberpunk, like, can barely load a game. But one funny thing is...
Yeah.
On PS5. And one funny thing I remember about, like, different when this scales, whole Cyberpunk... Yeah, different scales. When they were talking about this whole site, GTA 5 is probably bigger. When they were talking about the whole... they're talking about the whole Cyberpunk.
I mean, the studios are different scale.
Oh, yeah. One has no skill. Yeah.
No, Witcher 3 was incredible.
That's true. I got to give them that. I think one... you know, when they were comparing Cyberpunk, like when Cyberpunk was going copping it, just getting dragged through the mud. One of the funniest videos was the details. They were doing like details comparison and they were comparing, they were comparing Cyberpunk with GTA 4 and GTA 4, like the when you shoot windows and the way the window cracks in GTA 4, the sounds it makes, or even you walk along the beach and the like footprints or throwing a grenade in the water and stuff. GTA 4 knocked it out of the park and Cyberpunk was still terrible.
Yeah.
GTA 4 was actually an incredible game in my I feel like it's underrated. Like,
well, it's in the top 5 Metacritic of all time, from what I know.
Okay, well, maybe it's not underrated.
It isn't underrated.
Yeah, no. I just feel like it's less talked about than like your San Andreas, your Vice Cities, and your GTA 5s. Like,
no,
GTA
4 is probably
so
right.
So good. The shooting was a bit off, but I think everything else is good.
In my personal opinion, the shooting in Rockstar games isn't the most perfect thing.
98 Metascore. 98. Jesus.
That's insane.
Is that across all platforms or is that just for one?
That's for PS3. Number one PS3 on Metacritic.
That's crazy.
What's the highest Metacritic? Is it Ocarina?
Isn't it? Yeah, it's a Zelda game, isn't it?
I believe it's Ocarina of Time. Don't quote me. I think it's 99.
Jeez. Who gave it the bad review? But it was just... See, this is... I've never seen a studio perform so well and
consistently
well and just revolutionize, but just, it's just this absolute cream of the crop quality with every product they bring out. And it's so, so impressive. Don't get me wrong. Like Call of Duty, like every year just smashes records, right? But, and I think Call of Duty is like the testament to its fluid multiplayer mechanics is unbeatable. I think it's on a league of its own, but the Grand Theft Auto games are just something else. It's just on a league of its own in terms of just absolute quality. No other game in the history of gaming has ever gotten to that quality.
Here's our backup. Here's some info. Out of the top 10 games on Metacritic, 4 of them are Rockstar.
That's insane.
Before, when you were asking about what game's bigger right now. This, take this as you will. This is just going off Twitch, okay?
Are you live on Twitch right now? Okay. Yeah, go on.
No, I'm just looking on Twitch. I'm looking at like the categories and stuff. And, you know, take this as you will. Like, look at the time. It's 5 to 10. You know, kids are in bed and that sort of thing. Grand Theft Auto 5 is in the top three of being the most viewed thing on Twitch right now. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, being a competitive Fortnite. Fortnite is seventh.
What's
so Grand Theft Auto 5 has 78.6 thousand viewers and Fortnite has 59.4.
So, you know, this is a lull time, but
yeah,
it's always in the top five GTA. Yeah,
that's insane for a game that came out 8 years ago.
Number one is usually Warzone or League or Just Chatting. So just people chatting. But I don't really count that. So
no, well, look at in terms of games, I guess.
Yeah. Fortnite's up GTA, there, depending.
I mean, the fact that they're saying 2025, like they have the stature to do that, right? They can just say we're gonna no crunch this and just give it 5 years. And because GTA 5 is just making so much money for them. Other studios probably don't have that,
cash cow.
Yeah, or like that ability, because they need to bring out the next IP to appease the shareholders, and they need to recoup their investment and their operating expenses. So because GTA 5 is so good, they can take their time.
Going off on a tangent, Legend of Zelda is number one at 99. I was right. What do you think's number two? Number three is GTA 4. So what's number two? Quickly, before you look it up.
Mario? Super Mario Galaxy?
Super Mario Galaxy. What do you think, Jordan?
Is it Galaxy 2?
Galaxy is number seven. Number two is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 on the PlayStation.
Number three is GTA.
Uncharted 2's up there, which is good to see. My favorite game at 30th position. Not too bad.
Where's God of War 2018? Where's our favorites?
I don't think it's there, man. Unfortunately.
Nah, surely.
It hasn't even cracked the top 50. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's where's 72. MGS? 72. God of War.
No. God of War 2018, not God of War 1.
Yeah. It's 72.
No.
Yeah.
72
yeah.
ranked.
No.
It's 72 ranked in the top 100.
This is just
94 Metacritic gets you to 72.
Wait, what? You said 72 Metacritic.
No, it's ranked 72. Ranked.
Oh, I thought you said 72 Metacritic. That's why I was saying denial. 94 Metacritic.
94, but it's ranked 72.
Where's my boy? Where's my boy Solid Snake?
Metal Gear.
Yeah. Or MG, one of the MGSs. I'm pretty sure it's three or
do you reckon he makes it in? Metal Gear 2 at 44.
Where's MGS1?
MGS1. I don't think it makes it, man. I'm sorry to say. Top 100. Didn't make it. That's not a joke.
A bad game.
I'm checking this.
That's not a joke.
Affront.
Yeah.
Hey, we should go back to one thing we probably glossed over a little bit. The fact that there is a, I know we laughed at it as well, but the fact that there's going to be, hopefully, you know, according to the rumor, a playable female character, I reckon's awesome.
That's cool.
Fantastic. It's well overdue. It's
the first time for their games?
Well overdue.
Like for any of their games? Have they ever done that? Yeah.
And I think probably due to the raging success that was Sadie Adler in Red Dead 2, like 100% makes sense. I think they've shown they can nail, you know, I think we've come a long way from, you know, the way that, you
know,
females were probably represented in, you know, as much as we love San Andreas and Vice City, you know, we've probably come a long way from the way that females were represented for the most part in those games. So, you know, and Rockstar have shown that they can nail it now. So I reckon that's fantastic. You know, as much as it's like, oh, she's just going to be the tech character, that sucks. I'm sure they'll make her a compelling character with a pretty awesome backstory and everything. So I'm stoked with that. Stoked with it.
I think it's I was going to say, let's do a Metacritic prediction for GTA 6.
99.
We might be dead by the time it's out. So better not do that.
I was just looking up the Metal Gear Solid rating.
Where's it ranked? And
it's by 94.
The
way,
we don't consider Metacritic the be all end all.
Oh, no way. But I was just looking at one of the negative. There was only one mixed review on Metal Gear Solid 1, And the guy was saying it's a complete disappointment. I go to check their website.
They're dead.
And it's not, they're dead. And there's obviously there's a reason why, because they're stupid opinions.
But, do you remember the guy for Uncharted? Was it Uncharted 4, the Washington Post or something? He gave it a 4 out of 10.
He did. Yeah.
Oh, man, that was fun.
Do you want to know one of the best user-reviewed games on Metacritic? It's just
Corey
it's
in the house.
Funny. If anyone has some time, please just read the reviews. They are by far one of the funniest things I've ever read. The reviews are amazing. So funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's another game like that too. I think he had a second game. Did he? Or was it Anna Montana? I don't know. But for some reason.
Mate, That's Where Raven was lit. Right, that was a good show.
I don't know how that became a meme. It's just his face.
Based on one of the best anime. This is so funny. Oh, man.
All right. Let's get into some other news here. So Warner Brothers looking to offload NetherRealm and TT Games. Is this confirmed? Or is this
no, a rumor? So it's not a rumor. So we should mention, so this is from Push Square. So thank you to them for break. Like, I don't know if they broke this, but, you know, they we're reading from their article. Speaking as part of a podcast, Jez Corden, who is a scribe for Windows Central, noted that the Mortal Kombat and Lego developers could be on the chopping block following a complicated merger, which will see Overlord AT&T fuse parts of its business with cable company Discovery. So apparently there was some leaked documentation he was able to get a hold of and look at. And apparently that's what it was saying, that, you know, it should be mentioned, like, we don't know how clear these documents are. We don't know how accurate what they're saying is, but it seems like it could be on the cards that they are going to get moved. So,
bit of a weird move considering, I guess, TT and NetherRealm are probably your sure.
This lines up with the Marvel thing. Don't they want to do a Marvel game? Ed Boon?
Yeah. Oh, there's probably lots.
He's probably pushing to get out.
That might be
a theory.
Yeah, go.
Sony just bought NetherRealm, not NetherRealm. They just bought Evo.
Yeah,
and I've been NetherRealm being offloaded as this property that could be up to for sale. Or do Discovery want it? Sony could come in and get NetherRealm.
Question that comes with it, though, does NetherRealm own Mortal Kombat or does WB?
I'm pretty sure NetherRealm do, because it was back in the Midway days.
True. Yeah,
I don't think you're right.
I'd love it if it was like.
I think you're wrong. And especially for movie rights, he doesn't have the movie rights either.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, we keep talking about Warner Brothers. I just wanted to release some freaking games. I loved Arkham Knight. A lot of people disagree. I loved it, and that's
I liked it.
Is that the last big game they've done over there?
Not Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of War. Yeah, a bit disappointing. Shadow of War. Bit disappointing.
Yeah, okay. Shadow of War would have been the last one.
Still good. Just a bit disappointing.
See, I was about to say, disappointing. I remember the narrative being like, wow, guys, this game's way too long and you're like allowing people to pay to skip it. Like, why have you put that in there? I remember hearing that it's actually not a bad game.
No, it's a good game. It's just a bit disappointing is the word I use. Oh, okay. Does Hitman fall under them? I think it does.
When Midway went down, WB bought most of the assets, including Mortal Kombat.
No, Hitman's aren't IO Interactive independent now?
Yeah, IO independent.
Yeah, and then they Square Enix.
This is publishing.
Have Hitman.
Square Enix gave them Hitman. I don't get why that.
They were like, you clearly like it. We don't get why you do. Have it.
It was sort of like how Bungie went away with Destiny.
Yeah, with Destiny. Just like,
yeah, have Destiny.
Yeah. WB's last big game was MK11. Okay.
And MK11 still makes to this day the top sales for the month.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, well, a lot of that to do with the PS5.
Every month, even to now. I don't get how. And Injustice does as well.
Mortal Kombat's the most successful fighting game, I think. Mortal Kombat's at this point, Mortal Kombat's beaten Tekken and Street Fighter, in my opinion, and is the most successful.
Tekken's dead. Like, I'm sure maybe that our perspective's a bit skewed there, because Mortal Kombat's definitely, I would say, more of a Western fighting game than
100%.
Like, obviously, that's probably not an opinion.
Tekken Street Fighter.
Tekken and Street Fighter.
Hey, that doesn't matter because Monster Hunter sells bonkers. And that's
yeah.
That's not a Western
MK
game.
Has revolutionized, in my opinion, the fighting game story. No one has ever done any fighting game story as good as MK. It.
Tekken tries. Tekken tries with all its heart and just doesn't get there.
Yeah, they try.
With I'll tell you the difference between...
Yeah.
I'll tell you the fighting games of old. This is back in like MK4, MK3. To,
righto, old man Bike. Tell us.
No. The way that... the way that they do stories is you complete like the arcade mode for the character and then you see their cutscene, which tells your story, right? Like gives some ending. That's how you tell stories back in the day. Mortal Kombat evolved to having a fully fledged story mode, right? I feel like these Tekkens and Street Fighters, they're still on that old complete the arcade with M. Bison and you unlock his cutscene. Complete the game with Jin and you unlock his cutscene, right? Like, they haven't evolved to a fully fledged story mode in the way that MK does with every chapter's a new character and it all comes together and, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of WB,
M. Bison,
how's this for a lineup in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months? Back for Blood, Gotham Knights, Hogwarts Legacy, Suicide Squad, Lego Star Wars, and a Batman game apparently in the works as well.
Oh man, Lego Star Wars. I'm
all those games are going to be possible hits. So, yeah.
And that TMNT game I told you about. Imagine that.
The what game?
That's not happening, that, Jordan, but I wish.
Do you need three Batman games? Like, let's be honest.
Dude, I'm itching for a Batman game, if I'm going to be honest, man.
Do you need three of them, though?
Do you need three, though?
I don't have three. What are you talking about? You can't play as Batman in the other two.
Oh, but he'll be in it.
No.
I'm sorry.
He won't be in a game called Gotham Knights, will he?
What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad?
This is Katana. Oh my gosh, that movie was trash.
Dude,
I was thinking about today how trash Zack Snyder was, by the way. I just have to say it every episode.
Dude, a battle He's royale. Objectively
bad.
A battle royale with the DC characters is the number one game on Twitch. You make that game and balance. Good luck balancing it. Good luck balancing it, man.
How are you going to balance Superman with anyone? Just 50 anyone
characters.
Else?
50 characters. Good luck. Hey, it's been done. It's been done before. No, it hasn't been done. Okay, next story, Deathloop. So we had this state of play. I've got to be honest, guys, I didn't watch it. I just was not interested.
I loved it. I watched it and I loved it.
Did you? I might watch it then. If you guys are wrapped with it.
Yeah.
It was very short, so you won't. Yeah. It's not like it's demanding much time. It was like 25 minutes, 20 minutes.
I get quite defensive when it comes to state of plays because... Like, people are like, oh, there was no big announcements. Barbie Watch is like, they told you there weren't going to be.
they said specifically for this one, no God of War, no Horizon.
They told you. No, like, VR I can't believe 2. They didn't show it. I know they said all it, I'll but why didn't say they? Is,
and that annoys, that's have, annoying, yeah.
When have they ever done a big announcement on State of Play, right? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying, why are people continuing to think that God of War and Horizon and GTA 6 or whatever are going to come on State of Play? Like, they've never done a huge, huge, huge
announcement. These are kids in the chat that have no
idea. But damn, it's also that they're not. Like, it's also like grown men who are like, you know, who they're the people who send death threats and stuff to developers and stuff. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But like, it's yeah, the biggest announcement I can think of is Resident Evil 3, which could only be described as lukewarm, and I'm probably being generous in terms of when the game came out.
Hold on, what's this? What are you talking about?
When they announced like Resident the last Evil 3.
Big announcement at a State of Play, Jordan was saying Resident
Evil 3. They did that at a State of Play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that announcement. It got leaked like on the day or the day before. Mm. Yeah, but that came out as a State of Play thing. But yeah.
Yeah,
so, I'll be honest. As I was watching the State of Play, I think there was one game that I looked at and I was like, I won't play that. The rest of them, though, if I had, like, I would play those.
Well, you saw Is it Saifu or Sifu?
I think it's Sifu.
Okay, someone correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Sifu. So Sifu is the one.
That's been delayed. Right? You saw that, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, 2022.
Take your time. Get it done.
I was telling Jordan this.
Get it done.
If that combat can has the potential to be very revolutionary. If they can nail the mechanics of that combat because it looks so granular, I think it can overtake the Arkham style combat that has been so overused, in my opinion, in many games. They need to, for me, hand-to-hand combat hasn't evolved, in my opinion, past
since that
square
game.
To strike, triangle to counter. It hasn't. There hasn't been a hand-to-hand combat with, I mean, True Crime Streets of LA had some system, but it was okay. But like, it wasn't that good. But like, there has even Sleeping Dogs. Like, there hasn't really been this really good granular combat system where you can do different moves, and it's not just counter and strike, heavy attack, light attack.
Sleeping
counter,
Dogs and Mad Max, grapple. they're all just Arkham clones, really.
They are. And in terms of the combat system. So I really,
Sleeping Dogs.
And don't get me wrong, we've only seen trailers, not gameplay, and I'm just like looking at it, but I just really want this to be this revolutionary combat system I've been waiting for. Because
but I don't think it's going to evolve from Square Strike. That's like shooting is R1, R2 sort of thing.
No, but it's, for me, it's like you can combo, you know, you do different moves rather than just square, 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 square. Oh, okay. Someone's going to attack me.
There was a game like that. Was it called Wet? Or am I thinking of another game with a female protagonist? No, Jordan, don't get your money.
I know what game you're thinking of. I know.
Say the name. Revengeance? Revolution?
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Say the name. It's R. Something with an R with a female protagonist. But it had
is it Remember Me?
Remember Me? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Remember Me.
Remember Me was not bad.
It's a romance drama.
Remember Me.
It was a solid 7.
Remember Me, you're right. That had combat of what you're talking about, Vike. I'm pretty sure. Have you ever played it?
It was like the definition of average, that game.
It wasn't polished.
It was a don't nod game as well. I didn't realize
it was not polished. It was a decent little game.
Is that the most like demeaning thing you've ever heard? It was a good little game for like a game that was supposed to be AAA release, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know about that.
That was Don't Nod's first. That was Don't Nod's first game.
Yeah, AA makes sense. Yeah,
that was their first ever game, so I wouldn't call it AAA. I mean, would you even call Life is Strange a AAA? I wouldn't. So
no, nah, I wouldn't thought so.
Yeah,
but anyways, I liked the state of play. That was legit. The only game that I didn't really like the look of was the fighting game Battle Royale one. I looked at that and I'm like, yeah, nah, thanks.
Tribes of Midgard?
No. Like Hunted Arena, Hunted Hi. Fighting Arena. Something like that. I was like, I looked at that and I was like, yeah, no, I'm a peace out on that one. I don't need anything to do with that. But the rest of it, I liked. I liked what I saw.
Me and Jordan were literally just talking about this before the pod, how we both randomly just started getting into Demon Slayer today. He's starting the manga and I'm starting the anime.
It's one of the best reviewed movies of the year. Incredible.
Yeah, that and that movie, yeah, like, was it called Demon Train or something?
Or huge success. Something like that.
Huge success, yeah. It's like, and it's just come to a close, like, The book came to a close. I think it's coming to a close in English this year, like the publication of it. Yeah, it's huge. It's absolutely massive.
So Deathloop, right. I you guys saw this. So I heard someone told me that he thinks it's a Dishonored clone. What would your response be to that?
I would say it's an Arcane Identity.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be fully transparent. I actually didn't watch the Deathloop part because I'm sold on Deathloop. I don't need to see any more Deathloop. But from what I have seen, it is, yeah, it's not, I wouldn't say it's a Dishonored clone, but it is definitely an Arcane game.
I mean, you saw like the blinks. Wait, did they blink? I don't know if they
blinked. There's a few powers in there that's like, that's just from Dishonored, which is fine. A lot of it's fine. Because like, look at Naughty Dog and look at like Uncharted to Last of Us. The gunplay is quite similar. Yeah, one has crafting, one doesn't, but like they feel similar, really. Mm. So like, yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just an identity of the developer. You don't go, but when a COD comes out every year, you don't go, I can't believe it feels the same. Like you expect it to be the same because it's by the same people.
Hey, I didn't say this.
You could put the mechanics, the first person mechanics of Dishonored into Deathloop, and if you really think about it, it's the same mechanics, same gameplay, just a different setting and different objective and different weapons, a different setting, and that's not a bad thing.
Can't be honest, I wasn't a huge fan of Dishonored personally.
Mm.
Yeah,
you're not a fan of the whale punk genre.
Yeah, I don't know, I didn't Yeah,
as someone didn't who, vibe with me. As someone who prides himself on it being a stealth gamer, I never played this on it.
It didn't vibe with me. Are you the same vibe?
Yeah, I played a bit of it, but I don't know. I just didn't have the time at the time.
I played the... Sorry to interrupt you. I played the first one. I remember I played it through once and I was like, oh, I'm not vibing with this. And I came back to it a few years later and played it. And I really liked it. Wouldn't say I loved it. I really liked it. I didn't like it enough to go and play the second one.
When a stealth game, I prefer third person for a stealth game, just personally.
Splinter Cell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. I don't know. I
do feel like this game though, Deathloop's got something that was missing personally from Dishonored, and it's attitude. It's just got like this real cool like vibe to it. I love the attitude of like the bad guys in this. I love like the, it's got like a 70s or 80s like thing to it. Like it sounds like it's just, I think it's just gonna be fun.
Pulp Fiction sort of vibe.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah. I think it's just gonna be really fun. I reckon you're gonna get some, there'll be great banter.
I do think that the invasion is gonna be very annoying. I can just 100%. See that being very annoying.
Can you turn that off?
I don't know, because it looked like it was, oh no, they said AI. Like it doesn't have to be a human, it can be an AI.
Oh,
so that means you can't turn it off. You can turn off online play.
Yeah. I mean, the AI probably won't be that good compared to like a human.
Hold on. You'd have to be able to turn it off, because what if you played it offline? You know what I mean? So that'd be the alternative. Final Fantasy 16. What's the story here, Jordan?
So personally, this is a bit of like, I think this is a bit of a milestone with a bit of, so we've got a bit of an update from Final Fantasy 16. And it's that the English voice recording is almost complete. So if you think about how large Final Fantasy games are and how large we can expect Final Fantasy 16 to be, that's, you know, that's quite a milestone to consider that that's almost done. I don't know what this means in terms of how long we are away from seeing it. They've come out and said it won't be at the Tokyo Game Show, pardon me, which is in late September. But that, you know, the fact that the English voice recording is almost done makes you think that, like, you know, the story is done. You know, there's probably heaps of animation and quests and, you know, all that other stuff they've still got to do. But yeah, I just thought this was quite a handy little milestone that they've, and I don't feel like we get many updates like this where the developers are quite transparent with it. It's all very, in the gaming industry, it's all very like smoke and mirrors. You know, we'll let you know when we want to let you know. Yeah. And I think it's important because if you look at the distance that was between Final Fantasy 15 and Final Fantasy 13, and then also how long it took for Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 1 to come out, like, I don't know. So, it's just interesting to track how long it'll be until this one comes out since 15.
Will it be next year?
I don't know. My heart would say they announce it and say, yep, November next year and then it gets delayed probably by another like 8 months.
Yeah.
That'd be probably my comes prediction. Out mid 2023.
I look forward to playing it personally.
Yeah. I personally like this one because it looks a bit like, it's got like a bit of a Game of Thrones vibe to it. There's
it's got
more
a different
medieval.
Vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not so like happy steampunk, cloud punky.
Yeah.
Cloud punk. That's not
now, a word. Just quickly, guys, these director's cuts that are coming out for Ghost of Tsushima and Death Stranding, I mean, they're just cash grabs, in my personal opinion. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think it's a fancy word for a remaster and for a bit of a re-release, but I'm into it. Like, they've got me.
Are you going to play both, in all honesty?
I think I would play Ghost again. If my save transfers over, I'll probably dabble in it, play the new content, and that sort of thing. And that's probably all I'll do. If I had to play it again, though, like if there was another trophy list and they're like, if you want the platinum, you have to play it again, I would. Ghost, easy. Death Stranding is another beast. I don't think I have the patience nor time to play that game from the start with the new content.
That's crazy.
But you can upload your previous save data and the new content.
You don't have the play yet, do you?
Sorry, for Death Stranding. For Death Stranding, I do.
You've got the platinum.
Yeah.
Oh, round of applause for Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. You're a few months late, but that's right.
Well done. I think you've told me before. I didn't give you the acknowledgement that you deserve because that game's a grind.
That was a grind. So, but like looking and like I see all those new like things that they've got in Death Stranding, and we can talk about the Death Stranding update after because we got more details on it from the state of play. But I was like, it got me super pumped. And like at the time, I was like, I'll play through it again, no problem. But having thought about it, I'm like, realistically, not an option because it's a long game. I want to platinum it again, and that's like another 100 hours.
Or don't ask me. Don't ask me if I've got the Ratchet and Clank platinum yet.
Oh my god, you are an absolute fiend.
Mike, are you thinking that they're a cash grab?
I was going to go on to that. Do you think, like Cyberpunk was obviously going to, let's do a PS4 to PS5 upgrade, you know, or Assassin's Creed? Do you think those are cash grabs?
Say that again. Cyberpunk and what?
Like Assassin's Creed, you know how I think it costs some money, or maybe Assassin's Creed is free, right?
Assassin's Creed was free.
There are some games that to get the PS5 version, it costs money if you have the PS4 and to upgrade to PS5, right?
Oh yeah, they're cash grabs. Yeah.
Okay, you think they're cash grabs,
especially when you compare it to Xbox, whereas like you buy it once, doesn't matter which version you buy, you can play it on whatever.
I'm pretty sure Assassin's Creed was a free transfer.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, no. So this is, I guess we should stipulate that this is different to just playing backwards compatibly the PS4 version. This is, you know, 4K 60 FPS PS5 optimized game. You pay like $10 to upgrade. So
it won't look any different though to the naked eye graphically.
Okay. Well, 60 FPS does look very different.
Oh, that will. But the actual graphics of it won't look any different to the naked eye, in my opinion.
I agree that that what we're talking about right now, those are cash grabs. But with DS and GT, I don't know why I abbreviated Death Stranding and Ghost of Tsushima.
Quicker, save time.
They're actually giving you content, and it's still $10. I feel like it's less of a cash grab than previous $10 upgrades.
In Australia, it's $20.
In Australia, it's $20.
For Death Stranding,
if you've got the PS4 version, it's $20.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not too bad.
And you're getting all this content. You're getting.
I thought it was $60. Sorry, that's my bad.
Like, see, for me, like any other studio would have just said, "Hey, you pay $20, you get, or $10 US, you get the PS5 upgrade if you have the PS4 4K remastered visuals." But Sucker Punch have gone in and said, "We're giving you a new island. All the multiplayer content is coming. Controller features like haptics and adaptive triggers are coming.
Adaptive triggers. Imagine that bow.
Exactly. And there's a few other things that are coming. I think that's great. And Death Stranding, we're getting, you saw that trailer. We're getting so much more content
And
adaptive triggers. So I think it's more consumer friendly than, I wouldn't call it so much a cash grab as more of a, well, if you consider any product a cash grab, because that's
I was just about to say that, Mike. In essence, yes, it is, because they want your money, but it's not like they're giving you nothing for it.
Yeah, but I know what we mean, the connotation we mean by cash grab. But I'm just saying, in this case, I think it's a righteous sort of sale. I don't know, or maybe it could be slightly egregious, but I wouldn't say it is, and I would say it's worth it. I would say egregious is spending full price on Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Valhalla's a decent game. Still.
I will stand by it. I would say like a cash grab is like, you know, what Call of Duty do with the Battle Pass system and changing the meta and forcing you to buy stuff, or that sort of stuff is egregious where they're forcing you or just making it bad. But this seems a bit more consumer friendly in my opinion.
Sorry, what's the Death Stranding one? What's that going to cost us?
So to upgrade from PS4 to PS5, if you have the PS4 version on disc or digital, it's going to be $20 Australian to upgrade.
The same as Ghost.
I believe the Ghost one is more expensive to upgrade.
That's because it's got more stuff in it.
You would assume, yeah. But if you're going to buy them, like they'll come out full price. Like there'll be a Death Stranding PS5 release, which you can buy, which will be standard.
I like
price,
the cover art on that, by the way.
Same as Ghost. Yeah.
I'll give you the Ghost of Tsushima director's cut price. So this is all US dollars. PS4 is $60. PS5 version is $70. Okay. They're just the base copies. Now, if you're upgrading to PS4, so you have the base PS4 and you want to get the director's cut upgrade PS4, so the new island and stuff, $20. If you have the PS5 base, and you're upgrading to PS5, it's $30 extra. Okay, that's a bit hefty. If you have the PS4 Director's Cut and you want to upgrade from that PS4 to my the PS5 God, this Director's is unbelievable. Cut, that's this is 10 so bucks, confusing. Which makes sense because 20 plus 10 is 30. So
this is crazy.
It's essentially, you're going to have to pay 30 bucks pretty much.
So 20, and bucks let me just get this straight as well. So for PS5, there is only the Director's Cut coming out, correct?
No, you can upgrade.
But on PS, but there's no, so there's two PS5 versions coming out. So what I'm saying is for PlayStation 5, when you go to the shop to go buy it, there's just going to be one box, right? And that's going to be the PS5 Director's Cut.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. There's only the Director's Cut for both.
Yeah, they're not doing a standard.
Sorry, so if you have, this is all relative to base PS4. So if you have a base PS4, the PS4 version, yeah, upgrading that to PS4 is 20 bucks. Upgrading it to PS5 is 30 bucks.
Okay, is this Australian,
this by is the Director's Cut.
No, that's US. So it'll probably be add an extra 10 bucks on, probably.
Okay.
What's that?
Come on. Is this US? Yeah,
these are US. So it's going to, for us big boys, it's going to be like 50 bucks.
No. Not for Death Stranding. That is, maybe Ghost. Maybe Ghost. Not for Death Stranding.
No, that I'm talking about Ghost.
Death Stranding is 20 Australian dollars.
So confusing.
To upgrade. I'll confirm that, but I'm pretty sure Death Stranding is 20 Australian dollars.
I'll wait for a sale. It's too confusing. Oh wait till Christmas.
I think you're right.
But it's like cheap.
I think you're right.
I'll probably get a code. Let's be massively over. But yeah.
I massively overcomplicated these things. All I'm going to say is if you have the PS4 version, if you want to upgrade to the Director's Cut, 20 bucks for the PS4, 30 bucks to upgrade to the PS5.
We've lost half our listeners. Done. So we're talking to three people now. No. All right. A couple more quick ones here. So Dice LA are now called Ripple Effect Studios. That's their new name. They're managed by Respawn's Vince Zampella. You both know him.
Legend.
Formerly from Infinity Ward.
And they're working on a player-inspired experience for Battlefield 2042. So does that just mean a battle royale?
Yeah.
Pretty much. He's working on the battle royale. Now, he did Apex, did he not?
Yeah, he did Apex. He was Titanfall, Titanfall 2, Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Apex.
Or maybe it's co-op. This is speculation. We don't know.
He's a CEO, so...
But so now that's their Ripple Effect. I like the name. I like the logo.
Yeah.
It's better than Blue Box.
Oh, that's a touchy topic, Dan. That's a touchy
There's
topic.
There's news on that. We're not going to go into it because it's just ridiculous.
No. It's ridiculous. It's like you can like pre-own the game. I mean, for me, like when I think of DICE, I do have good memories like the older Battlefields or Mirror's Edge or Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, especially Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. The 2010 game and stuff, so it's kind of sad to see that like title and studio name going, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
And then finally, Assassin's Creed, in a new blog post, apparently it's called Assassin's Creed Infinity, and it's the future of the franchise.
We should mention that's the working title.
I sort of want to save this for another episode because there's a lot to dive into here. So
I think might be a good idea.
Yeah.
It might be, but let's talk about it now so we're not like...
Let's do our initial thoughts. Inform
them, yeah, well, just a quick reaction. It's just, for me, it's just expanding on what they've done with Valhalla. Valhalla, they're supporting for the next year as well. It's going to be the most supported Assassin's Creed ever with DLCs. To me, that's what they're doing, but with one sort of universe, like a Fortnite. Everyone's trying to do something like this, what Fortnite's trying to do. You know what I mean?
It seems like it might be more reminiscent of a Destiny, but without the PvP stuff and without like
it's
other
all
players.
About these season passes and reoccurring revenue, you know, keeping people into the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And and instead of getting DLC that, you know, continues a story with Norse mythology, it's going to be like, hey, next DLC, you're going to be going to ancient Rome. Next DLC, you're going to be going to feudal Japan. So, yeah, that's where I see it going. Personally, I look at that and I'm like, I don't think I'm ever playing Assassin's Creed again. That was my initial thought when I read this.
But you weren't playing it anyway, were you?
Unless it was Japan.
Japan will be the one to get you back.
If I'm being honest, I thought Greece would get me back. and I didn't get to it. Yeah, so yeah, I don't think I'll be touching one again.
What if it was Australia? That'd get you back.
Nah, I don't even reckon. Oh, maybe,
really?
Yeah, maybe
come on.
Yeah, maybe that would.
Is come there an on. Australian assassin?
They'd never do that.
I mean, so for those who don't know,
Captain Boomerang.
Captain Boomerang. they get Joe Courtney. So it's obviously Ubisoft Montreal and Ubisoft Quebec. So the way Ubisoft is spinning it is saying that, you know, Ubisoft Montreal and Ubisoft Quebec, they've been the two separate studios that have been working on the Assassin's Creed series, right? So I believe the last Assassin's Creed was that, I think that might have been Quebec from memory. They did Odyssey. So I think Montreal did Valhalla. So what I'm saying is what they're doing is they're combining these two studios now. They'll be working on this joint platform. And I think as Jordan is saying, like, this is a huge team. This is going to be a big team, a lot of talent. And I understand that. But I think naturally the repercussion of this is the story is just going to be watered down. If it's just going to be DLC stories, we're just going to have watered down stories. They're going to focus more on the gameplay and the sandbox nature of it all, and maybe the multiplayer. Are they trying to do some sort of GTA Online type thing? I don't know, because if we're just going to get some watered down 5 to 10 hour stories, then is it what people want? Is it going to be worth it? Is a story even going to be that impactful? I think one of the main things Assassin's Creed had going for it in its glory days, as someone who was more of a glory day fan of Assassin's Creed, you know, I loved one. Assassin's Creed 1, you know, Brotherhood and Revelations and even Assassin's Creed Black Flag and 3 to some extent. But the story was so good. Even the Animus stuff I loved, but I just don't see that them doing that. You know, that being said, Valhalla was a joke in terms of its length, unnecessary, far too long story was, and you know, with a story that long, it just got boring. So I know I'm probably in the minority who didn't like Valhalla, but so maybe a shorter, punchier story could be good, but I just don't see them hitting the balance.
So you're reviewing a game that you played 10% of. We've just got that confirmed.
10
the
hours.
The story's boring.
It's 10%. I played over 10 England. Hours of that game. And I got to the title screen in 10 hours.
I bet that if a game doesn't catch you in 10 hours, that's not the gamer's fault. That's the game's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was playing it so methodically. Like, anyway.
What's wrong with that? I was playing it so methodically.
Play through just the story then. You know what I mean?
Part of why I liked Assassin's Creed is going for the legendary animals and, like, you know, Black Flag, going for legendary ships. You were hunting these.
How are you going to get into the story if you're doing that?
Oh, those things should be interesting, you know?
Hmm.
Instead, it was fun. I give you that. It was fun, but like, I feel like I will give it a go. I feel like I'll give it a second chance.
Maybe we'll make a bet where you've got to play through it. That'll be fun. How's Godfall going, by the way?
Yeah,
Jordan, good. Spare parts? Those two going well,
I need to set up my PS3. I should have done it on holidays. Next holidays, I'll set up my PS3.
Guys, you're running
I'll
out
get
of
it
time.
Done. I mean, we've still got half a year, mate. You know.
Well, technically, we are running out of time.
So, well, nah, it's all good.
Hey, I wouldn't start it in October because once we get there, it's full on.
Yeah.
You won't want to play it. So,
mate, I think my holiday start on that, what will now be known as Gamer D-Day on 24th of September, where three games in the State of Play were announced to come on that day that I was interested in.
You're a lucky son of a bitch.
Lost Judgment, which I've got to play the first one before I get to Lost Judgment. And then there's one other that I can't think of that's coming out on the 24th too.
That's good. We won't go into what we played this week because me and Vike are pretty non-existent. Jordan's played a few, but save them for next week, Jordan. If you
Mass
can.
Effect.
I do want to hear your thoughts on Outriders and Taco Break. But we'll get to that next week. Vike, yeah, Mass Effect. I know you love it. So now what we are going to do is a quick quiz for you two. No Ooh. Points on the line. This is just a bit of fun, all right?
Just
10 questions. All right, just to round us off here.
Yeah.
The topic, Call of Duty.
Oh, a buzzer's our names.
Both of you have played a lot of the titles, so very even playing field. I feel.
I didn't play Infinite Trash Fair, but.
Okay, right. So again, reviewing a game he hasn't played.
Hey, even though, no, I did play Infinite Warfare, Jordan. I played hours of that multiplayer. It was terrible.
Hold on. Is there a COD you guys haven't played or bought?
Yeah. I haven't played the story of Cold War.
Okay.
But you played you've got the game. The Warzone.
You've got the game. Like,
I have.
Is there a game, a Call of Duty you completely skipped?
Black Ops 4.
Okay. And Vic?
Not since Call of Duty 2.
Wow. Yeah. All right. When was the first Call of Duty released?
Vic doesn't know the answer, but he's going to guess. And it's going to be 2000. And six.
Are you joking?
Wrong. Jordan?
Jordan, I'm going to go 1999.
I thought 99.
Jordan, oh no.
I was going to say 2003.
You're not close. Your Vic's closer. 2003. So Vic gets.
That's the first Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2003.
Really?
Yeah. They came out 1 year after the other. So like it was pretty quick.
Jordan, Metal Gear 1 came out in 99. It did. Call of Duty did not come out that early.
Yeah, no. I've got my timeline mixed up there.
Yeah, because Big Red 1 was 2004, I think.
That was the one. That was the first Call of Duty I had.
No, I got my timeline mixed up there.
Okay, next. So, Vic, 1 point. Next question. How many grenades are thrown in COD games over 5 years?
Jordan.
Good luck with this one. Yeah. Go on, Jordan. Is it, think big, man. Think big. That's what I'll say.
Is it 95 billion?
95 billion? Okay. Vicarth, your prediction?
I'm going to say 95 billion and one.
You're correct. It's 300 billion. Vic gets the point.
I knew it was higher than that number.
Oh, I can't give it. Can I give it that?
No.
I can't give you that, Vic. Sorry. 1-0 still. Okay. Exosuits. What was the first game?
Advanced Vic.
Oh,
Advanced Warfare?
Yep. That's you. 2-0. Modern Warfare 3. How many units did it sell in its first month?
Jordan.
Go ahead.
Some 15. Random.
15 million in the first month. Yep. And
I'm going to say 100 million.
100 million? Jordan is correct. The answer was 8.8 million.
I am so correct.
100 million.
100 million? What are you talking about? That's the second best-selling game of all time in a month. What's wrong with you? Oh, you've lost it. The opening scene of Modern Warfare 3 took place where?
Jordan. Is it London?
No,
that was the new bottom. I'm trying to remember the campaign.
You can just give me the city, and that'll be enough.
Paris.
New York City Financial District.
I thought it was.
I'm just remembering the epic moment when the Eiffel Tower fell.
Thinking of the scene where like the mum and dad and that are walking and then they start choking, like on the gas or whatever.
That was Modern Warfare. 20.
No, I'm thinking of 2013. I'm thinking of Modern Warfare 3.
Do you know what the cool thing about Modern Warfare was? The ad campaign was like MW3 and then like the air would turn around.
It was World War 3.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. It's epic.
Okay. What war is World at War based on?
Vic. Jordan.
Have to give it to Vic.
World War II.
Correct. What's the score now? 3-1 or 3-2?
With my best friend, who Dan's going to get on the show, Gary Oldman, the voice actor of Reznov.
You just stole my next question. Who was Gary Oldman? Who did he voice?
Reznov. Mason.
Oh, my God. Okay, which actor didn't voice in Black Ops 3?
What?
You ready? Who didn't voice?
Okay.
Jeff Goldblum, Heather Graham, Keith Sutherland, Ron Perlman. Who didn't voice?
Jordan.
Hands down, that was me first.
Yeah, that was you.
Yeah, go Vic.
It's got to be Kiefer. Because Ron Perlman was in Zombies. I'm assuming Heather Graham would have been in Zombies. And who was the first one you said?
Jeff Goldblum. You reckon he was
Jeff Goldblum. They were all in Zombies, I'm pretty sure.
Jeff Goldblum.
Kiefer was too busy being a big boss.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
Jeff Goldblum is in Zombies. Yeah.
All right. all right. By 2013, players had destroyed how many cars in-game?
Like... 100 million.
Yep. And Jordan?
I'm going to say 40 billion.
5 billion was the answer. I'll give it to Jordan. So that's 4. Yeah,
he's now. Closer. He's closer.
I am closer.
Okay.
Is he closer?
He's... No, he's not, but I'll give it to him.
You're like 25 billion off. I'm not 25. I'm like,
what's the point of teddy bears in Call of Duty?
Jordan.
Vike.
Jordan?
They're used in Zombies and you shoot them to either start Easter eggs or get songs to play.
Thank you.
Damn it.
4-3?
Yeah, I think 4-3. So.
First to 5 wins. So if you get this one, Vike, you're in. What was the first zombie map?
Vike.
Jordan.
Is that me?
Yep. Biker.
Yeah,
for the win.
Nuk the Ontonen.
Wrong. Jordan can tie it up here. Come on, Jordan.
Isn't that the first?
That is the first.
No. World at War.
Yeah.
That's the first.
No.
I think Vike just said it wrong.
Nuk the Ontonen.
Nuk the Ontonen.
No, it's not right.
What?
You sure?
You want me to look this up?
Yes. Yeah. What answer do you have?
Okay, you're right. What am I talking about?
If you say Kino.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about Black Ops.
Black Ops 1.
Yeah.
Jordan.
So we're going to have to go different.
I buzzed in first.
That would have been Kino, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Vike. That's my fault. A lot of answering that's time has ended. It was my turn.
Sorry, that's my fault.
You've been bamboozled.
You've been bamboozled.
Okay.
Let's play bamboozled.
Which of these zombies maps came out first? Call of the Dead, Origins, Shangri-La, or Verrucht?
Vike.
Jordan.
Yeah, Vike.
Verrucht.
He's done
GG,
it.
GG, boys.
He's done it. That's it. Vike gets the win. It was a very interesting quiz. The quiz master
probably the worst one we've ever done.
Yeah, he'll probably be fired. The quiz guy's going to be fired after that. That was
send terrible. Him off to Ubisoft.
That's why this
get
segment
him on to develop Valhalla.
That's why this segment got scrapped weeks ago. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, leave that 5-star review on Apple, like Tom Lucas did. He says Dan is beautiful, and Vike and Jordan suck. That's from Tommy Lucas, review 5 stars. Just review it like that and we'll read it out.
Jim Carrey from A Series of Unfortunate Events. Harsh, but fair.
Anything else you want to say, guys?
Be safe, everyone.
Yeah.
Be safe.
Tell Jordan to play Mass Effect.
I can't see it happening, Carton.
All right, guys, take care. We'll see you next week.